This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
A lot of baseball, a lot of football. NFL is in a mess. You got a doubleheader on Monday again. You get a game on Tuesday as of right now. But we start, Chris Canty. We finished the show yesterday with you saying you think the Yankees are done. We start the show today with you probably having a renewed optimism about your New York Yankees.
Dave, I'm doing good this morning. I have a renewed optimism about my team, but I don't know how to feel. I'm conflicted. Because
how so?
I'm listening to Gordon Damer this morning, and Gordon Damer was saying if you had negative energy yesterday, if you felt bad about the Yankees yesterday, then keep that same energy today so you don't jinx what could potentially happen in Game 5. Like after I thought it was over. I thought the series was over after last night. I really did. But now that we were able to push it to a Game 5 after dropping Games 2 and 3, and then you got your ace on the mound in Gerrit Cole, like it's just – I feel like the stars are aligning for my team to get past the Rays and advance to the ALCS, but I don't want to get too high just because I don't want to jinx it, Dave. I don't want to touch the money. I don't know how to feel right now.
I think you got to feel good. I mean, you have to.
Yeah, but I don't want to allow myself to feel good, Dave, and then my team give me a massive letdown tonight.
Well, but they're the Yankees, Rick, right? They're the Yankees. And regardless of your mindset, if you don't win a game with Gerrit Cole on the mound where you won the all-important Game 4 and you force a Game 5 and you're the Yankees and the expectation was to at least go to the World Series, Rick, wouldn't you say regardless of your mindset, you should be very disappointed if you lost this game tonight?
Yeah, you should be disappointed. But at this moment, Chris Canty should be re-energized. I mean, it was R.I.P. New York Yankees at the end of yesterday's show. And Chris, you fell for it. You let Dave walk you right into that trap. He walked you right into betting against your team trap.
Yeah, but it worked.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, exactly.
He sees a Game 5.
It's not like I lost anything.
Yeah.
No, you ended up winning. No, you ended up winning, but he somehow like mind-tricked you into, because that's what he likes to do, like 30 seconds left in the show, make a quick prediction. So then you panic, and you're like, Yankees are done. And the Yankees came out. Give Jordan Montgomery tons of credit. Higashioka last night was awesome. Torres, it's a huge home run. Your bullpen was lights out. Don't give up a hit in five innings. And now you're set up.
Unbelievable.
And dare I say, Gerrit Cole does own the Rays in the postseason.
See, why are you going to do that? Why are you going to do that? You had to throw that out there. See, I know what you and Dave are doing now. You guys wish bad things for me.
I didn't do anything yet.
No,
I've done nothing.
But you walked them down this road, though, Dave. I know what you two are up to. I don't know why you guys want to drag me down with your misery with the Mets. I don't know why you want me to have that kind of relationship with my team.
It loves company. Misery loves company.
Yeah, but you guys are supposed to be my friends and my teammates.
Oh, we are.
Don't be bad guys. No, I don't feel like you guys are right now. I don't. And here's the thing. I don't want to change my mentality just because it's like, you know, if you're watching the game and, you know, you're doing something, you're watching the game and you eat a certain food while you watch your team play, like you feel like there's this association with your team actually winning. Like that's the thing. That's kind of where I'm at with my mentality. I don't know how to feel about the Yankees. Maybe I should stay in a negative space and that will keep, you know, my team, you know, that'll give them enough life to get past the Rays. I don't know.
Do everything you did yesterday.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense logically, but it makes all the sense when you start talking about my fandom.
Yeah, but fandom doesn't make sense. Do absolutely 100% everything you did yesterday. From the time you left the show leading into the do everything the same.
Well, fandom is moronic to begin with. Our lives are based on what other grown men or women are able to do athletically. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of grown women, too, I told you Seattle. WNBA, baby.
Didn't they win days ago?
Yeah, I know, but we never talked about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, obviously, we missed that one. With the Yankees and the NFL going on, we let the WNBA slip on by.
Yeah, don't sleep on Sue Bird. Do not sleep on Sue Bird. She does not lose in the finals. She's like MJ in the finals, man. She doesn't lose.
What does she have, like, between high school and college and the pros, like 14 championships or something?
And she's got four WNBA Olympic championships.
Olympic gold. She has a billion.
She's a winner, man. She's a winner. It's crazy.
She is a winner. We'll see if Gerrit Cole is a winner tonight.
Pride of Syosset.
That's right. Syosset, Long Island. Correct.
No, but here's how this thing breaks down, right? Is that you hope Gerrit Cole can give you four or five innings.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because you're going to have Chapman for six outs tonight, and you'll have Britton for six outs tonight.
But you won't have Chad Green tonight.
You probably won't have Chad Green.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't
really
need him.
Good last night.
I mean, great last night.
If you can have Gerrit Cole give you five and then hand it off to Britton and Chapman. I mean, you give Britton six and seven, and then you give Chapman eight and nine, and it's night-night.
Whatever it takes, man. This is all hands on deck. This is game five, winner take all. Like, this is, I mean, this is when your stars have to show up and play like stars, and front and center is going to be Gerrit Cole. Like, everybody's saying it on Twitter last night. This is why you pay Gerrit Cole $324 million. This is 100%. Why. This game. On 100%. Short rest, 3 days, no excuses. Like, let's see what you got. I mean, the Rays are throwing out glass now after what?
Two days rest?
And they're asking him to be the opener, and they're going to piggyback him with Snell. So, I mean, that's what Gerrit Cole is going up against. And so we'll see what he can do. We'll see if he can hold that Rays lineup in check.
I mean, you're going to see everybody for the Rays. I mean, their bullpen is going to be unleashed.
Well, it has to be.
Tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw three innings from Nick Anderson tonight.
Yeah, last we saw him,
he was pretty damn good.
Oh, he was lights out.
He was great. I mean, you'll have Glasnow early. I mean, maybe for an inning or, you know, I'm sure they're hoping two.
Right. Yeah. And then Snell.
I mean, their bullpen, I mean, that, again, the stupid, you know, the one positive is you didn't use your high leverage guys. Well, I would have liked to use my high leverage guys so we could close out the series, but you didn't. So now it's game five. So their bullpen is.
Right. So they have Anderson. They have Castillo. They have all their guys.
Yeah. So they're going to get unleashed.
You know what, Rico? I was hoping that we could eke out a few more runs in that eighth inning. So maybe you don't have to go back with Chapman.
He needed some work anyway, though. It was good for
him. I know, but I was just hoping, man, because I know I'm going to need him tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know he's going to have to pitch in multiple innings tonight. There is no question about that in my mind. That's going to happen.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I want him pitching multiple. Like, I think he needed it last night. It worked out perfectly. I mean, what Green was able to do yesterday after getting up, sitting down, to come in. And I was going through, like, scrolling through some Twitter and stuff, and it was like, oh, this is going to be dicey. He's been up a couple times. Dicey, my ass. I mean, he was awesome last night.
He was good last night.
But
you know what, though? I thought the defense was good around Jordan Montgomery early in that game.
That double play in the first inning was huge.
Double play on that ground ball from Lau, like, that to me
huge
goes a long ways to settling them down and then them being able to get out of that third inning. I mean, you had, what, bases loaded with one out?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about giving up one run?
The Zunino strikeout was
to me because it could have got away from him really quickly.
That Zunino strikeout was maybe the biggest out of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And Higashioka was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable.
Oh yeah, yeah. That one that Montgomery spiked. Yeah, that was
multiple. Can we say
he's your catcher? You're talking about a run scoring in that situation.
Absolutely. Can we just say that moving forward this year, he's your catcher
outside of a
game or two, right? Let's be fair. He's the better catcher right now. If it wasn't Gary Sanchez, it wasn't a guy that was, you know, hailed the next hero and the next, you know, great Yankees prospect and, you know, was going to be unbelievable. That's years ago. Right now, as we sit here, Higashioka is the better catcher for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, he's a far superior defensive catcher, and he's getting the best out of your pitching staff. Like, he was able to get Jordan Montgomery through that jam because he was so good defensively. And I mean, he's throwing, and he had two hits last night. So he's turning the order over, which is a huge added bonus. But Gary Sanchez right now is, I mean, he's struggling. He struggled at the plate. And if he's not going to contribute offensively, then he's no good to you catching.
Well, you never know what you're going to get defensively. So it has to be Higashioka.
Well, I can tell you what you would have got last night was, I mean, a complete mess of a third inning. There's no way Jordan Montgomery spikes pitches like that to Gary Sanchez and there's not run scoring. It's not going to happen.
No. So if he's not a plus offensively, then he's a net negative is what he is.
In the words of the great Gary Cohen,
Oh, God, negative. Don't start there. All right, and the Mets are on the upswing. Don't start there. All
speaking of net negatives,
does it
make you sick? No, you know where I'm going.
I know. Wait, don't even finish. Travis d'Arnaud.
Ugh.
Is that where you're going?
Dude, you paid him. You paid him to leave.
And now he's a star.
He just hit 600, Dave. He hit 600 in the series.
I know. He's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
Oh, my God.
But come on, you have to have a positive feel about the Mets, no?
I don't even want to talk about the Mets at this point.
Let's just focus.
Let's focus on what Major League Baseball needs, and I hate to say it. Because
Yankees-Dodgers.
They need Yankees-Astros first.
Well, I mean, that
I need
Yankees
to see that
win
series.
Tonight, that's done.
Well, obviously. Because the Astros already won, but I need to see that series. I can't and the Astros are raking right now.
You would root for the Yankees, wouldn't you?
In that situation?
Don't break my heart, Rico.
I would root for the Yankees. I'm not afraid to say that. I would root for the Yankees.
You
in that
would?
Situation.
Right. Yeah. So just admit it. Just admit you love the Yankees.
No, I don't love the Yankees.
You do.
I love
if there's certain teams here and certain teams there, and you can find your way, you're a Yankees fan. You're a closet Yankees fan.
Milo is a Yankees fan. I am not a closet Yankees fan. I am a Mets fan, but I'm also a fan of baseball. And unfortunately, because of COVID and everything else, I have a newborn. I'm not allowed to play baseball. right? So I haven't been able to play baseball, so all I get to do is watch and talk about baseball. Okay. Have you seen New York football outside of the Buffalo Bills? It sucks. If the Yankees lose, all we'll have is the NFL and the Jets and the Giants. That's
Rico,
it.
That is a beautifully put explanation, but I think we actually have audio of you saying that you're a Yankees fan. Am I right with that, Santi? Don't we have audio of Rico saying
he said it on multiple occasions.
Yankees fans,
Yankee
him
fans
included?
Like myself?
Yeah, exactly.
You said Yankee fans like myself.
So we
like
actually
myself.
Have the audio. Like, we
yeah,
can run
Santi,
this
do
back.
Do you have that? Can you play that?
You guys don't need to do that to me today.
No, we should.
We should. I mean, you talk about you not a Yankees fan, and yet you're rooting for the Yankees.
So are you rooting for the Yankees tonight?
Yes, he is. Of course he
is. I want to hear it out of his
mouth.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for the Yankees tonight. I'm rooting for the Yankees tonight.
Are you rooting for the Yankees over the Astros?
Yes.
You, my friend, are a Yankees fan. You're a Yankees fan. Just admit it.
I am not a Yankees fan. I'm a Mets fan.
No.
Think about it this way, too, Dave. Who does Rick love the most at the station?
Yeah, Mr. Yankee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Doesn't it make
sense? It all adds up now.
It adds up. I mean, we should see this.
Shame on us for not noticing it earlier.
I would like to see the Yankees in the World Series, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And there's another one, too, which is even more damaging.
Yeah, but that was just a slip of tongue. That's because we're talking about the Yankees, and I was putting myself in the mind of a Yankees fan. I did that with the Rangers, too. When me and Howard were doing Rangers postgames, I accidentally said something about the Rangers, too, and you know how much I hate the Rangers. This is all we have, though, Dave. If we don't have the Yankees, we have nothing at this point.
What do you mean we have nothing?
What are we going to talk about?
The football?
Oh, okay, because that's
going
to be...
Football league?
Oh, I can't wait to sit and talk. I can't wait to talk about the Jets today. In the cover three for the Jets. How are they going to win
gonna
this?
I'm going to marry the Rangers.
Joe Flacco, baby.
Yeah, let's
go.
Break this one down.
Getting Lev Bell back. Come on, Rick.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Giants Cowboys. You know how bad Giants Cowboys is? I think the Giants have almost no chance to win. And Santiago, who's a Cowboys fan, is like, you guys are going to win this game. You know it's bad when each fan base believes the other team
well,
is
this
going
is what
to win.
This is what happens
but I think
when...
I think you're being more logical about your analysis of that game than Santi is. Like, Santi is saying that with his heart. Like, you're actually saying it with your head. Like, you know the Giants are awful, especially offensively. They ain't scored a touchdown in two games.
They don't score a touchdown.
Historically bad defensively. Historically.
Just wait.
Just wait.
Yeah, but you got historically bad defense against historically bad offense. And this is in a year where you can't help but score points.
That's what I'm saying.
So this is like when Big Cheryl meets Big Earl.
Stoppable force meets the movable object.
Just wait, okay? I will take an on-air apology.
We're
going
to run out two undrafted tackles this week, by the way.
That ain't your biggest problem, Santi. I mean, you got one of the guys that's in your secondary talking about it's impossible to give 100% effort every play.
Clowns. Well,
why would you say that?
Who says that?
Why would you say that?
Xavier Woods said, yeah, asking guys to give 100% effort on every play, that's just not realistic.
What?
That is when keeping it real goes wrong.
Can't he, but like, I take care of my kids.
I don't give a damn. That's what you're supposed to do.
What
you
want a cookie? 800-919-3776. Let's hear from Yankees manager Aaron Boone. What did your team show you in the game last night? Here's Aaron Boone.
Kind of what I know about them, you know. I knew they'd come ready to play. I knew they'd relish, you know, the opportunity, you know, with a winner go home game. You know, I didn't notice any real big difference with them. It was kind of business as usual. But there was certainly an edge to them right before the game, right before we were ready to take the field. And I thought, you know, everyone came up big tonight.
They were great. I mean, there's no two ways about it. The Yankees, in an elimination game, played a great game. Their pitching was great. The Torres home run, I thought, really broke the back of the Rays, and the Yankees played a sensational game four. Now, you do that again tonight, 7 o'clock here on 98.7 ESPN, and we're talking about Yankees-Astros ALCS.
The one thing I was concerned a little bit about last night, Dave, and this is just nitpicking, in that second inning when you got bases loaded, no outs, I thought they needed to get some more mileage out of
it. I agree with that.
Like, they only got one run out of that situation. That was a sac fly from DJ. Like, you got to get better at-bats from Higgy and from Aaron Judge. They got to be more productive. They have
Higgy's
to be.
Higgy's at-bat was brutal. And so was – I didn't like Aaron Judge's at-bat either. I mean, you got a 2-0 count, and then you roll – that was going to be ball three.
Yeah.
You roll over that to third base. I mean, he's due. Aaron Judge offensively has not been good. And so was,
and you're still here without great Aaron Judge.
Yeah, and I mean, Urshela over the last couple games hasn't been good either offensively.
But
and
you know
how
what,
good were we with the call?
It's hard for me to be super critical with Aaron Judge, though, because I feel like he was the one that set the tone in that first game against Bieber in the Indian series.
He did. He did.
You know, he was the guy that kind of set the tone. It was like, okay, this is going to be different than it was in the regular season. So I mean,
he's the leader of your team. But still, I mean, in those situations where I mean, you have a chance to blow the game wide open. I mean, that's and you got, I mean, LeMahieu has a great at bat. I mean, just to get that ball into right field and get a run in is great. But I mean, that's a big spot for Aaron Judge.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But in spite of not great Aaron Judge, you still win that game. You're still 2-2, and you still have your horse on the mound. And I think you like your chances if you're a Yankees fan. No,
yeah, how could you not?
Yeah,
I mean, you're going up against. I mean, Glasnow was great, but he's on 2 days rest. You're not going to see him for long. I think the biggest thing for Gerrit Cole is same thing with Jordan Montgomery last night was that first inning was big. Get out of that first inning. Like this Yankees, especially do not. Let G-Man Choi beat you tonight. Do not let it happen.
He's good, huh?
Against Gerrit Cole, he's good. Yeah, he owns Gerrit Cole for some reason.
Anytime he makes contact at the plate, I get nervous. Like, Santi put out the tweet, he holds his breath. Like, every time he comes up to bat, it's like deep, deep breath. Like, it's just one of those things, man. It feels like he's got the Yankees' number, and in particular, Gerrit Cole's number. Like, it's just one of those things. I worry about him, and I worry about a Rosarena. Or as Dave calls him, a Rice-a-roni.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys going into game five that you can't let beat you.
You know what's amazing about this postseason, too? And there were a couple games yesterday where it didn't happen. I think, what is it? So it's, was 20? It was 18-1, 20-3, I think. If you out-homer the team you're playing against,
right.
I mean, that's how you're going to win these games. It happened with the Yankees last night.
Yep.
It's crazy. 18 home runs hitting this series, and it's split 9 apiece.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Wow. It's unbelievable, man.
But you know who was good again last night, too, was Gardner.
He was good last night. He was.
He's always good.
He was.
He's a good player.
No, he's a good player.
That was a good piece of hitting he had in the sixth inning when he went opposite field on that base hit.
Yep.
And then Torres comes up and hits that homer. Like, that was a pretty good piece of hitting. But, I mean, that's one of the things we talked about with Gardner all year long. Like, you know, sometimes he goes in a little bit of a slump and he leaves a lot to be desired, but he's going to play good defense, and when it matters most, he's going to put together quality at-bats.
I agree. And the bigger the spot, the better he is, and that's what you want, right? He's been there so many times. Nothing fazes him. He's a terrific player.
And speaking of at-bats, Dave, they did. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. They did move Stanton up.
That's right, up to the 4 spot.
Yep.
We tried to tell Buster, and Buster's like, no.
He didn't believe us.
Think they're going to leave him in the 5 spot. We're like, Buster, listen, maybe a little inside tip here and tell you.
Yeah,
no.
We're trying to tell you. We're trying to help you, Buster. Help us help you.
Well, that's what happens when you go on with the Premier Pirates, man. Start saying stuff.
That's a good point. You make an excellent point there. It's like they just start to they leech away some of your knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
It's a valid point.
Hey, by the way, seeing what Montgomery was able to do last night, I mean, you couldn't have asked for more, right? He was, I mean, the fact that he wiggled out of that jam, that was exactly what the Yankees needed to get it to the bullpen. Am I the only one that was aggravated that they didn't let Davey Garcia do the same thing in game 2?
Yeah, they should have, of course.
At least give him a chance.
Of course. He was fine. If he went out there and he was Severino-like in the first inning, like he was against the Twins, you say, all right, you got to get him out there. But he did nothing wrong. You allowed the hottest hitter in baseball to take your yard. No shame in that.
On a poorly umpired at-bat, too. Awful.
No shame in that.
Awful job.
No. And even now, in retrospect, I don't look at Garcia and think he was bad. I think he was fine. One run in one inning.
But the reason why that plan sucked, it was because there was no change in the plan. Even if he was lights out in the first inning, they weren't changing it. Happ was already up.
If he would have gone 1-2-3 on 7 pitches, that would have been the end of his night.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we agree. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's hear from Yankees Nation. It must be all fired up, including Rick. Let's go to Nate in Queens. Nate, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, boys. I just wanted to give a shout-out to Montgomery. I thought he was the player of the game. Definitely won't lie. It was a team effort by everybody, but at the end of the day, he had the ball. He got out the clutch strikes, the clutch outs. And Rothenberg, eat your heart out, bro. If you think that you're going to root for the Astros, the cheaters, over the Yankees if they make the ALCS, you're basically rooting for no integrity in baseball. So,
what do you mean if I think I'm going to root for the Astros? Of course I'm going to root for the Astros.
Why are we pretending like Dave has any integrity, period?
Why would I not root for Houston? I don't like the Yankees, Nate. Why would I?
That's a salient point, Rick. Integrity and Rothenberg, they don't mix. So
no, they don't go together.
I digress.
I didn't need to call up and give me a hard time. And don't give me that I'm the only one that would root for the Astros. That's ridiculous. I bet you most people who don't like the Yankees. I bet you almost all people who don't like the Yankees.
Cheating. You support cheating.
No, I don't.
That's what you do.
I don't support cheating at all. I just don't like the Yankees. You think they're cheating now?
Who? Are they, the Astros cheating now?
Yeah.
Well, I would hope not.
All right. So then I'm rooting for a former cheater. It's fine. Fine.
Once again, I mean, there's certain
so
things
you know
you
what
do. I rooted
for the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and Belichick's a renowned cheater.
There are certain things you do in life that once you've done them, they stick with you. Champion is
one. Yeah, that's true.
Cheater could be another one, and I think we all realize what the third one is. you don't just dabble with that.
No,
I don't know where to go.
Forever in life, forever
Brandon
and
Queens. Brandon, you're next up on.
You can't chalk that
ESPN.
One up to a bad decision.
No.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up, Brandon?
Hey, how's everything? I just wanted to ask two questions to Canty real quick. Last night when they changed that into the fourth to the fourth, and who they moved? They moved
Voight down.
Five spot.
Voight down, yeah.
Okay. And hit a home run.
That was a great move. And also, I feel like Chapman is looking great too. I love how Chapman is looking. And the quick question, Canty, that I always forget to ask you, I always wanted to ask you, how did it feel when Mario Manningham expressed the feelings of how you felt when Mario Manningham caught that pass against the Patriots?
I was ecstatic. I knew at that moment we were going to go down and score a touchdown. We were going to win the Super Bowl. Like it was like, okay, we own. Like, this is going to happen. We're going to have a come-from-behind win. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, it's just I mean, you're asking me to put into words the best feeling in the world. Like, I don't know all of the adjectives to use, but, I mean, it was the best feeling in the world.
Probably the second best. I would probably make the argument that's
No, I would say it was probably the best.
Best feeling in the world. Yeah. Trust me, bro. Best feeling in the world.
You guys haven't won a men's league baseball championship.
That's true. It's accurate.
That is true.
Jeff in South Huntington, not to be confused with Northern Huntington. Jeff, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. It's my first time calling into the show. I relish the opportunity. You know, I'm on TV for a living, or at least a part-time living, and I still get goosebumps whenever I call into a show and get to talk sports because it fires me up. And especially about this topic of all things. First of all, Gumby was awesome. Game two was kind of an abomination. I hope that they get a chance to wreck.
Oh, no.
If you're a Yankee fan and you're a Met fan, you're one of these people that just during the season is going back and forth rooting for both teams, and then they get to the playoffs and or when they play each other, it's like, well, I hope it's a good game. That's an abomination. However,
yeah, you're a fraud.
I am. Yeah.
Is what you are if you do that. And we kind of lost Jeff, and thanks for the phone call. If that's your mindset, you're a fraud. I think the fact that I would root for the Astros against the Yankees, it you might not like it, but I think you have to respect the fact that I'm all in against
the Yankees.
I don't respect it.
I mean, first of all, they're cheaters. And second of all, it's not good for what we do. I mean, it's in our best interest.
So I should root for the Yankees to win the World Series?
No, I didn't say win the World Series.
To benefit what we do?
No.
I'm not playing with fire. I only have so many opportunities to get rid of this team. I can't root for them to get to a certain point and then be like, all right, now root against them. No.
I'm
not doing that.
You're an interesting breed, Dave Rothenberg.
I can see why you like the Astros, though. I'm sitting here reading some of the stuff Dusty Baker said.
Wow.
And why his team's been able to bounce back and be so successful. Because they closed the circle and got into each other. And it made them closer.
I think what they've done is pretty remarkable, to be honest with you.
Yeah, listen. I mean, you're still talking, but when you look at that lineup, it's ridiculous. Yeah, they cheated.
They found a way to put
advantage.
A chip on their shoulder, right? They played the us against the world card just because everybody is castigating them for being cheaters. That's all it is. So it's not like we haven't seen this in sports before.
No, I mean, listen. It's like, I mean, was Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer before he started taking steroids?
Of course he was.
Was Roger Clemens? I mean, did the Patriots still win after they get caught cheating? I mean, what happened
which
after
time,
they started?
Which time?
Exactly right. I mean, how was Tom Brady once he started playing with fully inflated footballs? Was he still pretty good?
Yeah, he was still pretty good.
Okay, so, I mean.
Tom Brady.
Still pretty good.
That was not his finest moment last night.
Here's the thing with Tom Brady, though. This is the first time in how long? He's played, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
He's 43 years. That he forgot what down it is? You think that's just that? Just happened because he's 43, or is it because
I think it happens because his head coach is not Bill Belichick anymore,
or the person in his ear is not telling him that it's fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
hey, it's fourth. We need to pick up a first down here.
Losing that game was a horror show last night. The Bears are
That was a terrible call on Shaq Barrett with roughing the passer, though.
Terrible call.
Awful. Like, teed it up for the Bears to get on that drive and score a touchdown.
It was funny because they kept, like, asking Aikman, like, well, did it hit him in the head? And Aikman was like, no. Like, it was a perfectly clean hit. Terrible call.
Yeah.
The Bucs had no right to lose that game. They should have never lost that game last night.
So who was worse, the refs in last night's games or the umps in this series with the Rays and the
umps.
Yanks?
The umps.
The umps?
Yeah, but C.B. Buckner's horrendous. I mean, he's horrendous. He's awful.
He was worse than Angel Hernandez in this postseason.
Yeah, and Angel Hernandez is Mount Rushmore bad.
But you know what? He wasn't that bad so far.
No, but I'm not going to let a couple okay performances change my mind about him.
I agree with you. Overall, he's bad. But I'm just saying, so far, C.B. Buckner has been the depths of umpiring in this postseason.
I'm pretty sure. I can't be 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that Enrico Palazzo is loosely based on Angel Hernandez.
Isn't he suing Major League Baseball?
Yes.
You can't make this up.
You can't make it up. You cannot make it up. And by the way, that hit last night, that Fuller hit was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Separate man from ball. Was that Keyshawn Vaughn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had to leave the game after that
hit. In real time, it looked like an incomplete pass. Like, I didn't think he had possession of it, but no, he had plenty of time to make a football move, and he got crushed. That's teaching tape right there.
That was the same exact thing that happened to the Chargers when they played the Bucs the week before. End of the half, they turn it over, and the Bucs end up scoring. They did the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bears end up scoring their touchdown there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was the Jimmy Graham touchdown?
What a catch that was, too, by the way.
It was. He looks like he's about done, and then every once in a while he makes these catches. Like, oh, I guess he's not quite done.
Well, I mean, in those situations, I mean, you're going to put him in the end zone against a smaller corner or safety. He can still box you out and make, he's still got good hands.
He does. I still can't, watching him play, I still cannot believe that Nick Foles won a Super Bowl and played lights out on a run to a championship.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me either.
He stinks.
He's not great. He's not great, but he gets the job done. I mean, if you put him in the right spot.
He did have a nice throw on that wheel route.
Yeah, listen, he's serviceable at best. But I never would have thought that this guy would have out-dueled Tom Brady on the biggest stage in football. I mean, he was great. He's never duplicated that since.
Maybe it's just that Nick Foles owns Tom Brady. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that. I think Khalil Mack in the defensive line for Chicago was a big factor.
Yeah,
it's a shame. It really is a shame that Chicago wasted that pick on Mitch Trubisky when they could have had Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes. Because think about how good that defense is. Just think about it.
And Allen Robinson is good. If Allen Robinson played on a team that had a legitimate offense,
he'd be a superstar player. Fantastic, Dave. He's a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. He really is.
But you never look at him like that because that offense is so bad.
It's dreadful, Dave. But here's the thing. It's Matt Nagy. He was the offensive coordinator for Andy Reid, so it's not like we don't know what Pat Mahomes would have looked like in that offense. Like, we know what it looks like. Could you imagine having that kind of offense with the defense that the Bears have right now?
They'd be the best team in football. They'd be the best team in football. High drama, Chris Canty. High drama. Stressful for you Yankee fans today.
Yeah, it's stressful, Dave, but I still can't understand why you don't want good things for me and my team. I mean, your team is getting something good. You're getting a brand new owner.
I don't
and having
like
Buster
Olney
on here. He's talking about what Stephen Cohen is going to do and putting this infrastructure around the team and, you know, blending analytics with some old school baseball guys. Like, you're going to have an actual organization that can identify players and develop talent. You should feel good about that. That's a win for you.
I do, and I think it is. But that doesn't detract the fact that I want the Yankees to lose. What?
But you get nothing. But you go. What do you get out of that, though, Dave? Like,
enjoyment.
That's what I'm saying.
Tremendous enjoyment watching them lose.
Why?
I cannot stand. I don't know. I just do. When the Cowboys lose, I enjoy that. When the Islanders lose, I enjoy that. I take great enjoyment when teams I don't like lose games. If it makes me a bad guy,
yeah, but you're talking
then I'm
about
a bad
teams.
Guy.
I mean, that's such a bad example, though. The Mets and the Yankees aren't even in the same league.
I don't like the Yankees.
You hate the Cowboys, you hate the Eagles, and you hate the Redskins because they're in your division. The Rangers are, I mean, the Islanders are in the Rangers division.
Okay.
I mean, this the outcome directly.
You're not going to change me off my view. I don't like them. I've never rooted for them. I can't stand
them.
Your view
stinks. Your view stinks.
I'm with you on
just
that one, Rico.
Because you're a fraud. And,
I don't
and
get
you can
it.
See my, I mean, I could read you tweet after tweet saying, of course, you're right. William Mazza, I'm totally with you rooting for the Astros. I'm a Mets fan, and it's like rooting for the bad guy heel in a wrestling movie. El Gonzo,
I'm sure,
a Mets fan, and I'm with you all the way about rooting against the Yankees.
I'm sure Jeffrey Dahmer had support, too.
So you're comparing the Astros to Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, I'm comparing you to Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes, exactly. You're an animal.
I've done nothing wrong.
They don't have a name for what you are, Dave Rothenberg. That's how warped your view is on this.
The fact, so you're rooting tonight, not you, Chris, because you should, but you're rooting tonight for the Yankees over the Rays, Rick.
I wouldn't say I'm actively rooting for the Yankees. I would rather see the Yankees play Houston in the ALCS than the
Rays. So you're
Rays
rooting
play Houston.
For the Yankees.
He's actually rooting for him because he loves to talk baseball. He knows we won't talk baseball if the Rays beat the Yankees tonight. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, baseball gets put on the back burner. Baseball all of a sudden now gets put on the back burner. Like, I'm not going to be as locked in if it's Rays versus Astros because we're not going to talk about it. Like, I'm locked in for every pitch when the Yankees are playing because I know we're going to have to talk about it the next day. See what I'm saying?
I don't know. I do understand what you're saying, and I in some bizarro situation, I do understand that you'd like to see the Yankees get to the World Series, but when does it stop? See, if you guaranteed me that the Yankees go to the World Series and lose to the Dodgers, I'd be fine with that. But I can't. I'm playing with fire now. If they get by Tampa, I still got Houston. They're going to pummel Houston. I don't think Houston's in the same class as the Yankees pitching wise. And then I'm going to have one team standing in the way of them and winning another championship. I can't take that risk. And I won't.
So but here's the thing: your team is not in. Your team is not even in it, though, Dave. What difference does it make to you?
It matters to me.
But
yeah,
why?
What are you talking about pitching wise, too? Pitching wise. We sat here for how many days talking about how thin the Yankees are with their starting pitching. Now all of a sudden their starting pitching is head and shoulders above the Houston Astros right now.
Their overall pitching is far superior to what the Astros have. Yes.
Outside of Gerrit Cole. We've said how many different times there's no one really in the staff because Tanaka struggled that we trust. Gee, I mean, you bring up one guy.
Well, who do you trust on
Houston? It's a seven-game series.
Who do you trust on Houston? Their bullpen is a disaster. Yankees just had a hitless, five innings of bullpen last night. Houston can't do that.
Because they haven't needed to. Have you seen what their offense has been doing? They haven't needed to.
Big guy at the station just sent me a text. Got your back 100%.
Totally. Who's right. The big guy?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not naming names.
Is it Hurley?
I'm not telling you.
Yeah, that's because you guys support cheating. That's fine. Listen,
exactly.
Be who you are.
All right. Well, when the Yankees have their big celebration because they've won another championship, it's on you.
They're not going to win another championship. I'm not
you
worried
don't think?
About them winning a championship. No, they don't have the pitching to do it. I'm not worried about it. This is a five-game series they're having a hard time getting through.
All right.
Let alone a seven-game series.
I hope you're right. Let's
you're
get
pitching.
To some of these. Let's get to some
way,
of the calls. People want to talk.
By the way, if the Yankees do get past this game tonight, you realize when game one of the ALCS is, correct? It's Sunday.
Yeah, it's in Petco, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's on Sunday, which means when are you going to see Gerrit Cole?
You'll see Gerrit Cole. Is it Sunday? It can't be every day, right? It's not seven straight days.
It's every day. Yes, correct. It's every
it's
day.
It's seven straight days?
Yes.
You'll see game Gerrit four. Cole. So what's that? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? You'll see him on Tuesday. Game three.
No, you see him on Wednesday, regular rest.
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, he pitches on Wednesday, which is game four.
All right. So he'd go four, and he'd probably come in at some point during game seven.
So they have an unbelievable advantage now when Gerrit Cole's going to go, once on regular rest in a seven-game. Stop.
All right. Look, I hope you're right. I just think I think there's no way the Astros would win that series. I don't think the Astros are that good. It's a sub-500 team in the regular season.
It doesn't matter. The regular season doesn't matter. They just bludgeoned the A's, bludgeoned them.
I hope you're right, but I don't want to find out. Hopefully the Rays win tonight. Well, I don't understand why you think it's bad that as a Mets fan, someone that doesn't like the Yankees, I'm rooting for the Rays to win the series. That's on
you.
I
was just hoping a little piece of you would root for the show and realize that, outside of the Yankees, once they're out, there's not much to talk
about.
We can
talk about Daniel Jones for hours.
Oh, because that's
Sam Darnold.
Exactly what you're
Trevor Lawrence. There's plenty of things.
Who knows when Sam Darnold's going to play again?
We went through 6 months with no sports and we were fine. I think we'll find things to talk about.
I got weeks of Joe Flacco. weeks.
No. Oh, that's going to be that's going to be an adventure. You're in for a treat, Rico, let me tell you.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Joe Flacco.
Sam got sacked. Sam got sacked last week against Denver 6 times.
Yeah.
6. And he can actually move. I was going back through some of Joe Flacco's stuff. So the last time he started a game was October 27th. He played 8 games that season. He was sacked 26. He was sacked 26 times in 8 games. 26. Like a statue. We got no Mekhi Becton today on Sunday.
No. No. Well, now they know he's hurt. Before
now they know he's hurt. Well, it's a pain thing. I understand. I get it. Didn't make sense just because of how you're. What positions you were thin at, and then you lose Bless Austin, so you're thin at corner, and you already stink at corner. But more importantly, one of the most underrated players in the NFL over the last couple of years is who?
Chan Jones.
Okay, and he's coming to town. You don't think he circled this one?
Jets are going to win.
Oh yeah, this is stat game. This is get right game, especially after they lost down in Carolina last week. Oh, yeah, the Arizona Cardinals are coming into MetLife on one on Sunday. You better believe that.
So you're taking the Cardinals and laying the points?
I didn't say that, Dave. I mean, we'll get to that in the 10 o'clock hour with R.J. Bell. All I'm telling you is this is going to be a fired-up Cardinals team, and from a matchup standpoint, it's not the best for gangrene.
No. Yeah. No.
All right, let's continue
what
along.
What they do, is just not, it's not good for you guys.
Let's go to Carm in Toms River. Carm, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey, you little chicken Carm. What's going on?
That's my favorite food. You guys are very entertaining, and I love listening to you guys, first off. And you guys need more than 2 hours. Just saying.
Well, we appreciate that. Call management, Carm, right after you make this call.
I will definitely do that. My question is, why would they take out Zach Burton in the top of the eighth with 2 outs and bring in Chapman? For one out.
Because they trust both guys, and they want to have Britton available for 6 outs tonight.
Right.
They want Britton and Chapman to be able to cover 4 innings tonight. Is what they would like if they need it.
But he was just on fire. He was just bang bang bang, knocking him out, and then all of a sudden you take him out. I was.
Well, I think he threw 22 pitches, and like Rick said, I mean, if there's a day off today going into Game 5, you probably leave him in. But I think they want to make sure that they have him for at least probably 2 innings tonight. So they took him out of the game, and I think rightfully so. Carm, it's not like they took him out and all of a sudden it got bad. You took him out and it was fine.
I know, but it just seemed like, he was just doing like what Zach Britton does. He just like was banging him out.
Yeah, which but is Chapman fine. Did what Chapman does.
Exactly right. And you'll get a chance to see in Chicken Parm, you'll be able to see Britton pitch 2 innings tonight and do what Britton does.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Thank you.
And let's go Yanks.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. That's my people, Dave. That's my people.
What we're dealing with here? Can we step back for a second and look at what we're dealing with? This is a person that calls us saying the Yankees – upset because they took out Zach Britton, as if it imploded from that point on. You put Chapman in, and you easily coasted home to the end of this
game.
Yeah,
but he's not. But he's not. I don't think he's not Monday morning quarterback. And he's saying in the moment, he was like, "Why would you do this?" In case things went sideways. He's reacting off how he felt in the moment, as opposed to how it turned out.
Because let's face it, the Yankees, based on the decisions they've made during this series, are not above reproach. Like, we can question some of the moves that they make. I don't think that move that they made in the eighth inning was one of them, though.
No.
I mean, especially when you talk about going to Chapman.
And it played out fine.
I have no problem asking Chapman for a 4-out save, ever.
He threw 20-something pitches, and Britton threw 20-something pitches, and it's all hands on deck tonight, and, you got to win this game.
Or maybe you could have Gerrit Cole open, and then Davey Garcia could pitch the second.
They might go with Hap.
Right? Right, y'all want to be bad guys, man. Want to be bad guys.
It's so much more fun.
They just. All right. What are you saying, Santi? Oh, after a presumptive positive player test today, all Jets players and coaches were just sent home, per source. Wow.
Wow.
This is a bomb on a Friday morning, getting ready for the football weekend. Guys,
we're getting reprieved then.
Yeah, I'm about to say, if you got to send everybody home, there's I mean, there's got to be a chance that they're probably going to move the game, right?
Well, they can't play Sunday. How could they possibly play Sunday?
No, you can't because you have to have 2 days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We're getting to a point where it's really bad. I mean, you got
to a point where you got to go modify bubble. If these guys, unless you're going to, I mean, the NFL's going to have to start canceling games or extend the season. Well, they're going to do it because if they cancel games, according to the agreement, they don't get paid. You don't get the game check for the games that are canceled.
Exactly. And then beyond that, Rico, we talked about it before earlier this week. Like, the NFL owners are trying to negotiate the media rights deals. Like, why would you not want to try to play as many games as you can to give your owners maximum leverage when they go into those negotiations? Like, to me, that's where the players are missing the forest through the trees. Like if you got to stay in a hotel for, what, the next 3 months, then so be it. Don't start messing with your money. Don't start messing with your money.
Exactly right.
But this is not one team now. You know, it's the Titans. It's New England. It's the Raiders. It's now the Jets. I mean, this is now spreading throughout the NFL.
Yeah, but with the Raiders.
You have a second game on Monday. Now you have a game on Tuesday. I can't imagine the Jets are going to be able to play on Sunday at 1 o'clock. I mean, it's running rampant through the NFL.
It is, Dave, but it's interesting. With the Raiders and the Titans, you can point to events where players put themselves in harm's way. Like, there was the potential to spread and contract the virus. Like, the Raiders, you know, Darren Waller had that charity event that he did. Like, that's ill-advised, needless to say. And then with the Titans, those guys decided to meet after their facility got shut down at a local high school and run through plays, which was another spreader event. So, I mean, it's just like those exercises in poor judgment. But with the Patriots and with the Jets now, like, I'm interested to see what's going on with those teams and what's actually happening. Is it a breakdown in following the protocols, or is it something else where you're actually talking about the virus getting into the building?
I feel like it's just a matter of time before the virus gets into the building with guys going home to their families.
With how this thing is so rampant. I mean, look, one person gets it, and all of a sudden it spreads to entire communities now.
And each guy is different, right? Like, my kids are home. I have a newborn baby, so my kids are homeschooling. I'm sure there are plenty of guys in the NFL that they have some that are homeschooling and some kids that are going to school.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And those
and
kids don't know.
Some schools aren't even open yet, and other schools are open full-time.
And some of those kids are playing sports and everything else. They don't know. I mean, they could be asymptomatic. They don't know if they have it or not. They're not getting tested on a regular basis. I mean, hell, Stephon Gilmore didn't know he had it.
Right. Has had no symptoms.
That's the hardest part with this thing, man. It's the incubation period of it and not having symptoms. Because if you have no symptoms, you're not and you just got it and you tested negative for 3-4 days and then all of a sudden you pop positive. Now everyone for those 3 or 4 days that you've been in close contact with, which is, I mean, seems like inevitable to the entire team because of how much time you actually spend in the building.
That's the problem.
Yes.
That's the problem. Like, I understand they got the protocols laid out, but I mean, you got to think if you're in a locker room with guys, like, it's going to be hard not to be in proximity with guys, especially if somebody is potentially infected. Like, how do you stop that from happening if you're talking about, you know, sharing a locker room with guys?
I don't know what I mean?
In the meeting rooms, you can socially distance. Even in the cafeterias and the weight room, you can socially distance. You can have shifts or schedules where you only have a certain amount of guys in those spaces. But with a locker room, like, how do you manage that?
Well, I don't think you can because it's human nature, too. That you go into the building realizing, okay, we've all been tested, we're all negative. So it's just a human nature, you're going to let your guard down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I mean, a lot of players look at the facility as a safe space, right?
If nowhere else. It's not.
Yeah, until it's not. Yeah.
Nowhere is.
Well, I can tell you where it is. It is in a modified bubble, like we've been saying.
Right. Or if you just lock yourself.
I couldn't imagine. Honestly, you know how much I love my wife and my kids. I couldn't imagine if I came home and said to my wife, hey, listen, I'm not doing the bubble thing. They can keep my money. I'm not doing it. She'd be like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, we can't. Well, the way our bank account works, if you don't do the bubble thing, we're going to be in real trouble.
The way these bills, these things called bills work, is we got to pay them. So I'm going to pack your suitcase for you. Have fun at the La Quinta, all right?
but what are we talking? We're not talking about 6 months even. We're talking about 3 months.
That's still a big sacrifice, though, Dave. You can't minimize the sacrifice.
You know what they should do? They should give guys another opt-out. If you don't want to, we're going to bubble, and if you don't want to play and you're not comfortable doing it, we totally understand. You have a second chance to opt out, but that's what we're going to do. Because this thing is now starting to completely change and run rampant through the NFL.
It felt like only a matter of time, though.
Yeah, they got to put a lid on it. They have to find a way to put a lid on it. And to me, I don't know any other alternative that would make sense other than a bubble. Because you can't keep doing what you're doing right now.
No, because it's not working.
Yeah, this is going to get out of control with the scheduling and stuff.
And it already we're already kind of there. All right, let's bring him in. Mr. Optimism. Let's see if he's optimistic today. Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. I am living in the Rosenberg basement bubble, and I'm healthy as can be.
Sure you are.
Since last night, those Chicago Bears, the team from Chi-Town, the Windy City, took on the Tampa Bay Bucks and beat them, we have four questions about the monsters of the Midway. Mm-hmm. Starting with, the Bears have played at Soldier Field since 1971. Where did they play before that?
Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field is correct. Way to go, Dave. The late, great Gale Sayers was the fourth overall pick in the 1965 NFL draft. But can you tell me who drafted him with the fifth pick in the AFL that same year?
Come on, Dave. This is all you, buddy. Come on. They were singing your praises on the K-Show yesterday.
Were they?
Yeah. I didn't tell you. Rosenberg texted me yesterday.
I'm going to say Kansas City.
Kansas City is correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
CC.
Right. He's out of Kansas. There you go. Good job.
So when you scour the Bears record books, believe it or not, Jay Cutler holds most of the QB records. Obviously, Walter Payton holds most of the rushing records. But can you tell me who holds the Bears' single-season reception mark with 118 receptions in a single season?
Is that Marshall?
Brandon Marshall saved DPA,
yes.
Bro.
Nice,
three for three. Everybody's got one.
All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Gentlemen, can you tell me who holds the Bears' career record for the most tackles, 1,488 in his Bears career?
Ooh, you'd think it would have to be Singletary, right?
Is Urlacher's got to be up there too, no?
Or Butkus.
Ooh, Butkus. That's an interesting name. That's an interesting name, Butkus.
So this is this is career tackles. But did they keep that stat when he was...
Come on, Dave. Andy's not giving us any help either, which I don't really care for. No, I know, but usually he's kind of like,
yeah,
he gives you like a little bit of like the like a taste. Like if you mention the name, he kind of like,
right,
you know,
right.
Hey Ray, you want to help him out here?
No,
we don't want help.
Come on, we're better than that.
We are better than that. We might be better than that.
I feel like we've said it. I feel like we could have said it already.
You think it's Urlacher?
It's got to be Singletary. No,
he wants winners. Singletary
does want winners.
I don't understand why he's not giving us the answer, though. If we're,
I know that's the problem. See, that's what I'm saying.
Because if I would say Singletary and that was right, he would just go.
He would say yeah, and he would say stay healthy, my friends.
Yes, which I look forward to every day. Yeah. It's got to be Mike Singletary.
The answer is Mike Singletary.
Yes. Nice, Dave. With us.
I want people that want to win. Can't do it.
Thank you, Ray.
Stop with the games, Andy. Andy, if I want a game, listen. I'll put the tennis ball in your mouth when we want games, all right? No playing around.
Rick, let's be careful out there. Fellas, stay healthy, boys.
Thank you, Andy. We appreciate it.
Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Won't do it. He was good. So what were you talking about? Rosenberg is texting you?
No, he texted me during the segment yesterday when we were with Andy from Merrick. The last question you answered, and it was like there was no hesitation. Like most career sacks at Pitt. And you answered it immediately.
Hugh Green.
Yeah, he texted me. He's like, this is unbelievable. And he brought it up yesterday with Kay, how quick it was.
See, I got to be honest. There are some that I get that I'm like, wow, that was a good job. I don't think Hugh Green is that amazing. Like, Hugh Green was a star. I think he was second or third in Heisman Trophy voting.
Which is fine. But again, there's not many. Like, it's the vastness. The point he made, it's the vastness of your knowledge. Like, if he was doing, you know, he does his... You know, last one standing with Don and Michael. Like, he can come up with a handful of questions for both guys that he knows they won't get.
Right.
Could be a sport they don't like, whatever it ends up being, a category college, whatever it is. He's like, I can't think of one way to go where I could actually feel comfortable that I would stump Dave.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, I thought it was a tremendous compliment.
It is a nice compliment. And that was brought up on the K Show.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's nice.
I think it's safe to say that as far as trivia, sports trivia is concerned, at the state, you're the guy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Football Friday. Well, we hope it's a Football Friday. Adam Schefter's latest. Cardinals are scheduled to leave for New York today. So now there are real questions whether they can leave to fly east for Sunday's game against the Jets. The Jets have a positive test and have sent everybody home from the facility. So we will certainly keep you posted on what's going on with the Jets and the Cardinals and if that game is going to go on. Let's bring him in live from Las Vegas, probably from the buffet at the Caesars, and that is the great, talented, wonderful R.J. Bell. Good morning, R.J. How are you?
You know, imagine if I was at the buffet right now. That would be pretty nice.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I think you probably hit... How many buffets would you say you hit a week?
Well, pre-COVID, three.
Three buffets a week. You're a sensational guy. All right. So, R.J., we have a lot to do.
Four,
by the way, you
maybe?
And Canty, just to let you know, do you know what you and Canty are in your combined efforts this year so far, in 4 weeks?
It's not good.
I tell you, I'm not going to blame anyone, but, I mean, I'm 4-0 on Michael Kay's show. Just kind of saying.
You're 2-2 on our show.
I know. I don't know what it is about you guys that bring out the worst.
But you and Canty are 0-4.
I know. I mean, Chris, why don't you just admit that you've lost the fire in your belly?
What do you mean, RJ?
I just
lost the fire in my belly.
I don't feel the same passion as when we had the big money on it.
So you're saying that money is the motivating factor for me, and if there's not any money on the line, then I'm no good when it
no,
comes to making picks.
No, actually, you might have just said something. All right, Dave, we
yes.
come up with some kind of you hit him with a Subway kind of bet. No money, but it's pride. And then me and Canty go head-to-head from here.
Well, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'll think of
well,
something.
Well, let's think of it for next week.
All right.
Because we got to get some stakes here.
Okay.
You really are a degenerate, aren't you?
So, like, so we're better with trouble, picks when we're adversarial. Is that what it is, RJ?
I think so. I think
okay.
so.
Okay.
I
we
think
can't
so.
Be collaborative. All
but
right,
we can appreciate each other's talents.
Yes. Yeah, we just can't work together.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, that's probably true. Rich Cimino, the latest. Arizona Cardinals scheduled to fly to New Jersey today for Sunday's game. Obviously, that's completely up in the air as the Jets now await more test results. So, RJ, let me ask you this then. Games like... The Bills and the Titans, New England, maybe the Jets now if that game can't go on Sunday. Are these games that you're more inclined to want to wager on, more inclined to stay away from because there is such uncertainty and unknown as a gambler? Or is it the opposite? You know what? I just play by the numbers and whatever the numbers dictate is what I go with.
So first off, there are right now there's, let's see, one, two, at least – there was upwards of five games as of just yesterday that were off the board. You literally have not seen five games off the NFL board in the last 5 years. So, I mean, this is really uncharted territory. And I would say typically professionals like more complexity because they figure that's where our talents can shine. I'm not sure. You look at Minnesota as kind of a good example. You know, Minnesota's the team that was out of their practice facility for 2 days, and they played great. So I would say that I'm uncertain of how to handle these games as they, you know, the details emerge. Now, what's even more complex quickly is in the Super Contest, if the game is canceled, it's a loser.
Really?
Yeah, so you've got to be thinking about, like, we all liked the Lions last week, which lost, but there was a right before we put the picks in, there was a report of a positive test on the Saints, and we said we won't even play that game because it might get canceled. Luckily, it got us off a loser.
Yeah, fortunate for you. RJ, question for you quickly is how are you dealing with all these points being scored? Are you more likely now to focus on the over-unders than normal?
It's almost like we're planning this one. All right, so the bookies. I think there's a real opportunity here. The bookies have increased the over-unders about 5 points since week one. That's huge. And if you look at the average scores, they've gone up about 5.5. So you might think, well, that's it. Value's gone. But if you look at week one and then the other 3 weeks, week one had 6 less points. It had 47. Last three has been 53. I think that week one was unlike anything we've seen, no practice or limited practice, no preseason games. They had 1 week to kind of get their bearings, and boom, 3 straight weeks of big scoring. I think there's still value on the overs, and it's because they're looking at the whole season and adjusting. But I think week one was an aberration, and the last 3 weeks are more indicative. Thus, I still like over. In fact, on Mr. Michael K's show, my best bet of the week, I rarely do this, but I have a total for that show, which was over in the Washington Rams game.
RJ, you brought up the Vikings earlier. I want to ask you about their primetime matchup with the Seahawks on Sunday night. I mean, the majority of the bets are coming in on Seattle, but the overwhelming majority of the cash is in on Minnesota. What am I missing here? Because it seems like the Seahawks as a touchdown favorite, that would be a simple bet. What am I not seeing with that one?
Well, remember, before game day, a vast majority of the bets, well, let's say at least before the weekend, a vast majority of the bets are professionals or, you know, semi-pros, guys that take it very, you know, like, kind of like a golfer who's not a pro, but, you know, he's got all the clubs. He's got like three different gloves, and he's out there at 4:30 in the morning. There's bettors like that, right? They retire, they're 55, they're trying to be, you know, they want to make $25,000 in a year, whatever. They are not going to take the obvious pick. And I, you know, not to even try to be funny here, but imagine if you walk in, you know, as the COVID passes, you walk in a bar and you say, who likes Seattle? Everyone's going to go, yeah. You know, who likes the underdog? Hardly anybody. It's hard to be on with the crowd. Because if you are, quite frankly, you're paying a premium. It's not just that it's not the crowd loses. The crowd's going to hit about 50%. It's that the crowd makes it more expensive, and thus you want to go the other way or pass. I think Seattle's the most overrated team gigantically. And one stat no one's talking about is they've had 19 touchdowns and 2 field goals this year. And they've had 3 games within 2 points of the spread. Literally, if there was just 1 field goal instead of a touchdown in each of those 3 games, which still would have them way above the league average, Seattle would be 1-3 against the spread. So they've been covering by a smidge. I think Seattle is a fine team, but they're not near a top 3 team like many people think.
So you're saying that you would take the Vikings +7, or would you punt on this game?
I worry a little bit. Kirk, you know, when you know about Kirk Cousins in the whole routine, though I didn't like him last week because I thought, well, if anything's going to change the routine, it's having practice canceled 2 days. But still, I'm not huge on Cousins, though I do think Minnesota is better than we saw in week one, obviously, and them getting a little more depth at receiver with the rookie has made a big difference.
RJ Bell with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I got to ask you about the Giants. It's Giants-Cowboys. It's a game that, you know, typically would excite a lot of people, but not so much this year. Cowboys stink, and the Giants are horrendous. Opened at 11 for Dallas. It's now down to 9.5. Giants covered last week and fairly easily. Who do you like in this one?
This is an amazing stat. So you can aggregate how many minutes a team has been up, you know, winning the game. And you got 60 minutes per game.
So times 240 minutes the Giants could be up. And I mean, you're going to tell me that they've been up for like 7 minutes.
No, I'm going to tell you that the Dallas Cowboys have been up less than a minute.
Wow.
And no other team is less than 10 minutes. Colts are number one. Buffalo's number two. So Colts are an interesting team, not getting a ton of attention. They had that loss that everyone said, wow, but I kind of like them against Cleveland. But doubling back to the Giants, here's the thing about big favorites in the NFL. When you bet the dog, you're not betting because you think the dog is so good. You're betting because you hope and think the favorite might be lackadaisical, might not be intense. And the times that you can almost assure intensity. So let's use the playoffs, for example, in the NFL. Big favorites do exceptionally well. Road favorites off a bye do exceptionally well because they're focused. I know Dallas is going to be focused. So part of me actually kind of, as much as I don't want to bet the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys are not only the right side, but a pretty good pick.
RJ Bell, Ron Jeremy Bell, joins us here in the show.
I met him once.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
It was a late night at the Rhino. No.
I think his nickname was the Rhino. RJ, let me ask you about the Houston Texans. How much? So they're laying. I got 6.5 at home against the Jaguars. Just fired. Haven't won a game. Fired their head coach. How much is that motivation from firing their head coach play into whether or not you should like this game?
All right. Well, typically, if a team fires a coach, you want to play on that team the first week, because what ends up happening, Chris, have you ever been on a team that had the coach fired?
No, not in the middle of the season.
Okay.
I only played on good teams, RJ.
Well, there you go. You and I are 0-4, but, you know. So here's the thing.
That's a bad team.
Is typically everyone wakes up and says, uh-oh, new sheriff in town, and they rally around the new coach. I believed that O'Brien, who was a horrible GM, is a good coach. I think he's an above-average coach. I mean, this is an amazing stat. So look at the last 5 seasons. Bill Belichick has won 5 out of 5 division titles. Andy Reid has won 4 out of 5, and Bill O'Brien has won 4 out of 5. That's the 3 people that's won 4 or 5 in the prior 5 years. Now, we can say, oh, it's not a tough division, blah, blah, blah. He's a good coach. But I actually have friends down ESPN Houston. I do segments down there, and they tell me there was real dissension and that they're happy he's gone. So the market actually reacted differently, where the market said bet against Houston. Typically, they'd bet on Houston, and I think maybe on is right. Though I will say this, Romeo Crennel had one other time that he took over midseason. And he actually, amazingly, upset, you might remember this game, the Green Bay Packers, who were undefeated, like 14, like 13-0. And to me, we could say, oh, that's one game, it's a coincidence. But boy, if you've only done this once and you had a great performance, he kind of knows what to do. What we know for sure is Crennel is a low-scoring coach. He's going to make this team much more conservative. So I would look towards the under also.
RJ, now in the case, so you said your favorite over-under of the year is the Rams and the Washington football team game, but the Washington football team is 30th in scoring offense, so doesn't that mean you have to like the Rams in this game?
No, and I probably do a little bit, but here's what I like, is Kyle Allen is a fumbler. And
you got itty bitty hands, right?
Yes.
He's a fumbler. He's a family of fumblers.
He's a mutter and a fumbler. Yeah. And we actually, and this is the truth of my show, I play the flipper theme whenever I say his name. And he really does have, they're 9 3/8 inches. And as we know, size matters. So to me, if there's a strip sack, obviously it's going to be a situation that's good for scoring the other team, the Rams. Now, I think, though, other than that, he's a better quarterback, at least right now. So, in general, I think Washington is just prone to score more and more. And what's interesting is, as good as that D-line is purported to be, and Young's been out, they actually, ESPN puts out, just they put out this week, their pass rush stats for the line, and then the run defense, and vice versa. And Washington has a surprisingly good O-line and a surprisingly mediocre D-line based on these stats. I just feel like that the game itself has assumptions that just aren't true, especially with the quarterback change. By the way, not that this is a sure thing, but when I gave the line out yesterday, the line was 46, and it went up to, it was 45 yesterday, and went up to 47 in the last 24 hours. Now. Correct. So that's a good sign.
That is a good sign. All right, let's stop wasting time here. Chris, 3 games. RJ, let's go.
Okay, I think I know which one RJ is going to go with, because I like the Cowboys, and I was going to lay the 8.5. So that's one of the games I had on the board. I actually also had the Rams at 7.5, And then I was leaning toward taking the Seahawks, but RJ talked me out of it. So I'm going to roll with the Dolphins and take the 9 points.
All right, so let me give you the actual spreads we have here. Dolphins, this is on your site, pregame.com. Dolphins Niners is 9. Cowboys 9.5 right now. And Rams are 8.5 right now.
All right. So.
Hold on, wait a minute. The Cowboys is at what, Dave?
9.5.
I thought we were going off of the post.
I thought we'd go off RJ's site.
Nah,
no?
Go off the post. I don't want him mad at me.
When did we start doing that?
I don't want him mad at me.
Rodo Rico, was I not in that meeting?
You have to let Canty somehow game the system or he's not comfortable.
I'm not gaming the system.
Oh, the line's 9.5 and you're late 8.5. It's like old times.
what are we doing?
Call the bookie up and say, hey, can I have yesterday's line, please?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sitting here looking at the New York Post right now.
What year are you in? It's not 1974. I mean, I'll buy you an iPad if you want.
Whatever spreads you guys want.
You know that laughter? That laughter eggs me on. Tell Canty, I don't mean to do this, but I hear the laughter. What am I supposed to do?
It's difficult not to. All right, well, go ahead, RJ.
So what is the number we're using for the Cowboys game?
8.5.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'm going to go with Dallas. And you know what? I'm going to make Dallas my official best bet here. Canty can't lose 4-5 in a row.
All right.
But I will say this, a quick 30-second tip. What do you do, Dave? Because you fancy yourself a wannabe sharp, right?
A non-gambling wannabe sharp, yes.
Yeah, but still, you want to be sharp because you figure it's going to help your career.
All right, go ahead. I see you trying to demean me here. And I'm
no, I'm just saying this is a trivia. This is a question for you. You walk up to a roulette wheel. You're going to play either red or black. You look at the wheel and it has 7 straight reds. What do you play?
I play red.
Why?
I have no idea. I don't play roulette.
All right, here's the thing, is when there's a streak that seems unusual, go with the streak. Because if it's random, you're 50-50. But if there's something funny going on, then the streak's going to be the way to go. So with Canty, you could say, oh, it's kind of bad luck he's lost 4 in a row. Or you could say there's something kind of funny going on. But somehow I'm being the goofball here, and I'm going with the Cowboys.
All right. So you're taking Dallas minus, we'll say, 8.5 this Sunday against the New York
Football. Oh, I forgot. Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah, of course it does. All right.
You know, actually, all joking aside, is since, you know, we know there's hundreds of thousands that bet this. So let's go 9.5. For me, I mean, so because the worst thing you can ever do is have somebody lose when and you're talking about winning and they lose. Oh, my God, that's a nightmare.
So you were going 9.5?
Well, I tell you, Dave, there's a bunch of. Let's go 9. There's a but you can get 9. You can get 9 easy.
Okay. All right, 9 it is.
All right.
Locked in. RJ, we appreciate you. I will talk to you in the morning. Good stuff as always.
Thank you, guys.
Very good. That, of course, is the sensationally talented RJ Bell. Rick, I haven't heard you laugh like that in a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
I like when he says, what year are you in?
Oh, man. It is supposed to be the Post, though. Well, I mean, I'm standing up for Canty. It is supposed to be the Post.
Yeah, but not the newspaper version. I thought the online version at a minimum, no?
Dave, I am on the online version.
Yeah, where is he getting the New York Post? Whereabouts where he's at? Where is he getting the New York Post?
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Drone?
Oh, God. All right, today on ESPN Daily, you guys are funny. University of Miami quarterback De'Eriq King may not be a household name, but this Saturday's game against Clemson could change that. Hear King's remarkable, remarkable story on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. All you do is click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. We didn't get into this. We're not going to spend a lot of time now. But this kind of stinks. Rick, it looks like Henrik Lundqvist is going to sign a deal with the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It stinks for you. Great for him. I mean, he still wants to compete. He still wants to play.
No. Great for him. I'm just saying, like, I hoped he would go to a benign team that wherever he went to, I'd be like, oh, I can root for him and hope he has success, which I'm not going to ultimately root for with him on the Capitals.
Well, I wouldn't either. But, I mean, you're going to be as loyal as your options. I mean, if he had a better option than Washington, I mean, there's so many goalies moving around.
I get it. I'm just saying it kind of stinks. I was hoping he'd go to, Colorado.
Stop being a baby, would you please?
Would you stop giving me a hard time?
Free agency starts today, by the way. NHL free agency.
Love it.
Nice little day today. Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Are you finals
watching,
game
you
five.
Watching the French Open right now?
I'm not watching it right now, and I got first take on it. I watched the women's semifinals yesterday.
Good stuff. Kennan is good, huh?
She is a maniac.
Yeah.
She's a little bit nuts, and I kind of like it.
I thought you would. All right, let's get to the NFL. So, guys, I guess we assume the game is going to be played. Maybe it won't be played. I don't know. But if the Cardinals come east and they are able to get this game in, and we do have pregame at 11, and the game starts at 1 o'clock on Sunday with the Jets and the Cardinals on 98.7 ESPN, Chris, is there any way that this could possibly be, for at least the short term, a better quarterback situation with Joe Flacco, or is this a huge step back for the Jets?
No, I think it's a step back because I don't think at this stage in his career Joe Flacco is as talented as Sam Darnold. I just don't see an abundance of weapons to be able to work with. So, I mean, even if Joe Flacco gets the ball to the right receivers on time, there's no guarantee that good things are going to happen. So I just for this Jets team, I just think this is a bad matchup just because you're down a couple of guys on the offensive line and you're facing a formidable Arizona Cardinals front. I mean, Chandler Jones and company can get after the quarterback. I think they're eighth in sacks in the NFL. So being able to keep Joe Flacco upright and not having to turn to your third string quarterback has got to be at the top of the list of priorities for Adam Gase going into this game. And then defensively, the Jets have got to have a plan for how they're going to deal with the no-huddle offense of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. They're going to come out. They're going to spread you out, play basketball on grass. They lead the NFL in RPOs, in attempts and yardage out of RPOs, so they're going to have a plan in terms of how they want to neutralize that. But overall, the Jets are going to have to figure out a way how they're going to contain Kyler Murray. This is not a defense that has done well with mobile quarterbacks in the past. And, I mean, in terms of how he's playing right now, I mean, Kyler Murray is next level. So this is going to be a huge challenge both offensively and defensively for the Jets.
You got one of the most mobile quarterbacks, I mean, athletically speaking, I mean, how fast he is in the National Football League. And on top of it, you have two or three wide receivers in DeAndre Hopkins?
He's great. Yep.
No, he's amazing. And my concern with Joe Flacco was this, Dave, is Sam Darnold clearly is the more athletic of the two quarterbacks. And you saw what he was able to do in Denver with that touchdown run, 46-yard touchdown run was unbelievable. With how athletic he is, he was still sacked six times against Denver. You're dealing with a banged-up offensive line. You're not going to have your left tackle in this game. That's a huge concern for me with Joe Flacco starting his first game since October 27th. That would be a huge concern. You haven't been able to run the football. I mean, that Denver game, Sam Darnold was your leading rusher. I mean, your running backs went for 45 yards. So if you can't establish the run, then you're talking about a guy like Chandler Jones, who's one of the most underrated pass rushers in the NFL.
He's terrific.
He could ruin your plans in a hurry.
Yeah, and with no Mekhi Becton out there, it certainly hurts as well. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just think that like weird things happen when you put the backup quarterback in. And obviously, long-term, Sam is a better quarterback. But I'm just wondering if the Jets somehow, maybe I'm wrong, but rally the troops and have one game of, you know what, they just played Carolina, then they go home, now they come back. Is there any way in a perfect world that the Jets can compete or even maybe find a way to win this game?
It's going to have to be with turnovers, Dave. It's going to have to be with turnovers. That's the one thing that I would say with the Jets, that they've done a decent job of not making too many turnovers. I mean, in terms of turnover differential, they're plus one on the season. The Cardinals are minus three. So, I mean, I think that's your hidden advantage. If you can get some takeaways and, you know, in the red zone, you know, maybe a turnover here and take away a scoring opportunity for the Cardinals, I think that's the way that you give yourself a chance in this game. Your defense is going to have to create opportunities for offense because I just don't see your offense being capable of doing that with Joe Flacco, who is a limited player at this stage in his career.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that he hasn't worked with these wide receivers much.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say that. I mean, there's limited talent on the outside for Sam Darnold, but at least he had a really good relationship with someone like Jameson Crowder. And you saw that on Thursday night. I mean, he had 7 for 104. I mean, there's clearly a connection there. And if Chris Herndon doesn't step up at some point, I mean, again, he's someone that needs to step up.
I mean, why would you think that Chris Herndon, who's been a disappointment almost his entire career, all of a sudden would step up?
Because you can see the talent. And when you're talking about him being a unicorn, that would suggest to me that there's enough talent where he should find a way at some point to have a positive impact on the game. And I would feel a lot better about this game, too, as far as, you know, you're saying, you know, if everything lines up, The problem is the Jets have had this thing where they continue to find ways to hurt themselves. And last week it was ridiculous penalties. If you're not going to eliminate those, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to win football games if you're going to continually take stupid penalties. It's not easy to win in the NFL. Chris will tell you that.
It's not easy. It's not easy, but the Jets have to be able to find a path to victory. The only thing is, I don't have a lot of confidence that Adam Gase is going to be the guy that's going to find it and lay it out for him. And even if he does, will the players trust him? I don't know, man. The Jets are in a tough spot, man. This season is already over with. It's just a matter of how ugly it's going to get, right. And that's all going to depend on how much they trust the head coach.
Right. Now, we're assuming you're going to have a new head coach, and we're assuming you're going to have a top two or three pick. Right? I mean, that's things that you go into week five already under the assumption that these two things are going to happen.
I think the feeling would be different if Sam Darnold hadn't been hurt last week. Because, I mean, we're past the quarter pole, right? You had no preseason games and everything else. So now you're four games in. That's like as if you've played preseason, and now, you know, moving forward, what are you judging? You know, how are you going to judge this team? But the fact that Sam is hurt, and now I got Joe Flacco playing quarterback, I mean, that, again, is not great, because you're trying. I mean, the whole point of the season now, after you lose the first four, is to have an idea whether or not Sam Darnold can be your quarterback moving forward.
And I think that was the only thing of value you were going to get after this season after an 0-4 start. Like, is Sam Darnold going to be our guy moving forward? Or if we have a top three pick, are we going to turn the page on Sam Darnold and go with another young quarterback?
I don't see.
Like, outside of that, what are you playing for?
Yeah. Nothing. You're playing for nothing. But I don't see.
You're playing for nothing.
Like,
I'm sitting there looking at the Jets' schedule right now. I don't know when their first win is coming.
If I said to you right now, Jets over under 1.5 wins, you'd have to think long and hard.
I would take the under.
My God.
I don't even have to think hard about that, Dave. I would take the under.
If you're long and hard, you're only 1.5, you got issues. You
got to
go over 1. You got to go over 1.5. You know who's gonna get tested this weekend? Guys, I'm sure. I mean, they've watched it. Is Desir is gonna get? Yeah. I kind of feel bad for him a little bit.
I don't feel bad for him.
They're gonna attack him, Kathy.
I don't feel bad for him at all. Is he an NFL player? Is he collecting a check? I don't feel bad for him.
Dave, why do you need
sweep
to do that?
Sweep the
though?
Leg.
The ridiculousness are over under 1.5. Why do you
that was a
like
real question. Because he said, I don't know how many games they can win. So he set it up for me asking, like, can you see them winning less than 1.5 games? And he thinks that absolutely they will.
You worry about your own trash team, all right?
Listen, I don't need you to speak down to my team. I know how bad my team is.
The Giants are going to get a win this season, though.
The Giants will get more. If I said to you Giants over under 1.5, you'd go over.
I'd go over.
Yes.
Well, despite you, I'd go under. What's going to happen if all of a sudden you get shook? If you can't score a touchdown against Dallas this weekend, how's that conversation going to go on Monday?
Yeah, that's going to change. My feeling about it will change.
I mean, you think I'm going to be more upset? It's the same thing. I'm numb. I'm broken. The Giants stink. I don't understand why you think I'm going to get more upset. They're 0-4. They have two touchdowns on the year. The franchise quarterback looks awful. The franchise running back is done. The franchise tight end stinks. The defense is carrying the team. I mean, the GM is atrocious. What do you think? It's going to get worse? This is what they are. They're going to win three games this year.
But, Dave, are you now to the point where you're actively rooting against the Giants? Or are you just
not against the Cowboys, no. No.
So you're rooting for the Giants to beat the Cowboys?
Oh, yes.
Even though you know it could potentially cost you a chance to draft Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, if we were week 16... and I was like 1-14, would I root?
So this is not the same as the Chase Young situation at the end of the year when you're playing.
If you would have lost that game, you would have wound up with Chase Young right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You'd have him on your team. Yes. Right now, it's too early to root against your team, in my mind.
Because I don't think it's too early for Rico to start rooting against his Jets.
I don't think he has to worry.
Yeah, he probably doesn't have to.
I don't think his rooting is going to have an impact one way or the other.
I'm telling you right now, you're going to feel different. I can promise you that.
With what?
And this is coming from experience. Losing to Denver the way that we lost to Denver felt different. If you all of a sudden go into Dallas against an historically bad defense and can't generate any offense, you're going to feel different on Monday.
I'm telling you.
If we're the get-right game for the Dallas defense, I'm with you on that one, Rico. You're talking about a defense that's allowed 126 points in the last three games. If you can't go out there and score one touchdown, just one?
No, the Giants
should
score
problem.
A touchdown. Like, I'm thinking 31.
Okay, Dave, you would have said that about the last two games.
I would. You're right. You're 100% right. I would think in any game, the bar being set very low, you should go in and say, we're going to score a touchdown. Right? It should never be like, I wonder if we're going to score a touchdown this week. Yes, you always should.
Yeah.
Well, especially this year, you see, this is the amount of points that are being scored on a week-to-week basis. This is as good as we've seen, except for the Giants.
I love how you're going to take, you of all people, going to take digs at the Giants.
But who else am I going to take digs at? I mean, you're the closest, worst team to us.
Yeah, I feel like the Giants and the Jets are in a league of their own in terms of how bad they are.
It's us, it's you, and then, there's a gap.
No, see, I think that it's you.
There's a chasm.
There's a gap. It's us. There's another gap.
Did I use that properly, the chasm?
Yeah, that's right.
The chasm, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
chasm. Yeah.
There's a chasm, and then there's some bad team, some more bad teams. But we're clearly
I think
the
worst. It's 32 Jets. Then you got to take the elevator up.
No.
To 31
Stop
Giants.
It.
Then you can take the elevator way up.
I'm
Chris, what do you
thing
think?
I'm taking that thing at the airport. You step on.
I love that thing.
I do like that thing
a lot. When you get off that thing, it's a little weird though, right?
You got to keep moving. Yeah, you got to keep your speed up.
Yeah. Sorry. This is it. All the marbles, Candy. Game 5, Yankees-Rays, right after the Michael Kay Show. So Kay comes your way 2:55 today. Takes you right up. I mean, Kay's all over the Yankees. Been covering them for 30-plus years. Takes you right up until first pitch at 7 o'clock. And then right after that on 98.7 ESPN, Larry Hardesty. So it's either going to be a love fest or a funeral as far as the Yankees are concerned. You're moving on to face the hated Houston Astros or... Your season is over, but you feel good, right? Overall, pretty good.
Well, I'm on edge, Dave. But I'll say this: tonight has the makings of a really good sports night for me because not only do the Yankees have a chance to advance to the ALCS, but my Lakers have a chance of hoisting up another championship banner. So,
no one deserves all this good fortune, really.
I don't understand why you don't want me to win, man.
That's
we're supposed
a lot.
To be teammates, and I thought we were friends.
We are friends, and I care for you greatly. But, I mean, you're going to get championships. You're going to move on to the ALCS. It's just, it's a lot.
I feel like I deserved it, Dave. After the 4 months that we had when we didn't have sports, I feel like I deserved this.
I'm very jealous of what you have going on right now.
Okay, don't be, Dave. Don't be.
I am.
Just don't be a hater.
Lakers,
you can be
by
jealous,
the way.
Just don't be a hater.
Well, I don't think I'm a hater. Lakers, by the way, as they look to win another championship, you can hear that game, 10:50 a.m. And that, of course, is Lakers Heat Game 5, and I would think the final game of the NBA Finals. All right. Are you ready, Rick, for our award-winning NFL selections?
Yeah, I'm always ready. You know how much I love this segment.
I know you do. All right. So you're winning, by the way. You're 5-6-1, which is actually winning. Canty is 3-9, and I am 4-8. So just horrendous selections up to this point. Since you are leading, would you like to go first, second, or third?
I would like to go third because sometimes I like to go against you, so I like to hear your picks and maybe
going against me, you'd have a heck of a record this year.
Exactly
okay.
Right.
Canty, I'll go first if you'd like, or you can, whatever you want.
It doesn't matter, Dave. We're the NFC East of picks. Go ahead.
We really are. I'm the Washington football team of selections right now. all right, I'll go first then. Now, I have RJ site up. I don't have the post, so you guys can correct me on my spreads if they're at all off.
I have the post right here.
I have the post right here locked and loaded.
Okay. So I'm gonna tell you the number I have, you guys can correct and I'll put in what you guys have. Houston makes the change. I still can't believe they're 0-4. They're not playing to lose. If they lose games, it's bad for them. Their pick goes to Miami. Romeo Crennel, I figure, finds a way to at least motivate them a little bit. JJ Watt's gotta be pleased that he got rid of a coach that obviously he didn't get along with at all. So I will take Houston minus the...
Five.
All right, that's what I have against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I took them last week and I lost.
That number's gone down.
Yeah, opened at 7. Oh. I took Miami last week and I lost. I don't feel great about San Francisco. And I'm not saying Miami's going to win the game. I don't think they will. But I'll take Miami plus the... What I have is 9. Do you guys have that as well?
That is correct.
I'll take Miami plus the 9. Against the San Francisco 49ers. And my last selection, I know everyone's in love with Cleveland. They're the sweetheart right now. All the money has gone on Cleveland this week. They opened at plus 2.5. I have a pick. And what do you guys have for the Indianapolis-Cleveland
Got
game?
The Colts laying a point.
All right. So I'm gonna take that. I think Indianapolis overall is the better football team. Cleveland a little banged up at running back. Still don't trust Baker Mayfield 100% yet. So I'll take Indianapolis and I'll lay the point against the Cleveland Browns. So Houston minus 5, Miami plus 9, Indianapolis minus 1.
All right, Dave, I'm going to ride that Miami Dolphins train with you as well. I'm going to take them plus the 9. Of course, R.J. Bell already teed it up for me, the Dallas Cowboys in the Canty Bowl. I'm going to lay the 8.5. And I'm going to go to the Keystone State for my last pick. I'm going to take the Steelers coming off of their bye week, laying the 7 against the Eagles because I just don't trust Carson Wentz.
All right, Pittsburgh minus the 7 against Philly. And lastly, our leader at 5-6-1, Rick DiPietro.
We got the Cowboys at minus 8.5, correct?
Yes.
Evidently.
Come on.
All right, here
man.
We go. All right, here we go. I'm going to take Arizona. I'm going to lay the 7. I'm going to take the Rams. Then I'm going to lay the 7. 7, correct, Canty? Rams giving 7? What is it?
7.5.
7.5 now?
Oh, no. Look at him.
Oh, God almighty.
Now what does he do?
It's a great question. What do I do now? All right, well, I think about that. I'm going to also, I like Houston too, Dave. I think that Houston bounces back, especially because the whole J.J. Watt thing.
All right, so you're going Houston minus 5, Rams 7.5, or are you going to go in a different direction?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'll take the Rams minus 7.5.
All right, minus 7.5. So you have Arizona minus 7. You went against your own team. Rams minus 7.5 and Houston minus 5. That's our picks of the week. We'll see how those turn out. Canty and RJ have both locked in at Dallas. They agreed on minus 9 via RJ, and I don't think that should be much of an issue. All right, there you have it, guys. Have a great weekend. Chris, because I am a friend, I'm going to wish you very good luck this weekend in your sports
ventures.
Thank
you, Dave. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.